Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the latest episode of the Wrestling Index Podcast. As always, your boy TK in the house. And if you're watching right here live on YouTube, then you could see I'm not alone. I got Big D Brett back in the house with me. And Brett, I want to ask you first and foremost, how do you feel about the nickname Big Dick Brett? Is that something that you want to stay around or do you want that to go away?
I mean, who would be upset with that? So, I'm great with it, buddy.
All right, good, especially when you're packing a hog like you're packing.
Yeah, when you got a big old dripping hog like I've got.
Oh, shit, dude. Welcome back to the show. Second time we did it last week. We said we're coming back this week. It's Tuesday night. WWE NXT just wrapped up. We got a lot to talk about. Really quick, some housekeeping. The Wrestling Index Podcast you can find right here on Floor Slappers YouTube, Visionary Global's Media on SoundCloud, and FloorSlappersSports.com. Brett from the Brainbuster Boys, you can find them as well on Visionaries Global Media. And Brett's going to be joining us a lot more. We just ripped a league episode. I think it was Saturday night. We got hammered. It was like 5.5 hours. You can find that right here on the YouTube. We had a little discussion, little argument regarding what a real world's champion is. So I'd go and check that out. And that's where Brett's name is referenced, that Claudio is a real world champ comes
we
from.
We will not get into that now, because even right before you hit live, we started to get into it and some blood was boiling. But yeah, I don't know, probably somewhere around the 4 hour mark.
Yeah, man, it was good. It wasn't heated by any means, but it was a real good discussion.
I was pretty heated, but I was also. You were.
I think from what I recollect, because I was very drunk as well. I remember the guys were like, "Oh, you're getting red, you're getting red," and I'm like, "Fuck you, I'm always red, man."
It was great though.
Yeah, good conversation. A great time. And here tonight, we got a bunch on the docket. Johnny Gargano is back, and I was always a huge Rebel Heart fan, huge Johnny Gargano fan. Same. Awesome. So I want to get your perspective on that. Rob banged hard last night. I know you just caught some.
Watched some. Yeah. How about that? First time I've watched huge. Raw, any part of Raw in shit, many, many, many months, I'd say. Yeah. Probably watched like a couple matches, few segments. Yeah. Definitely enjoyed it. And as I said on Friday, once all these tournaments and I can get caught up on everything, I'll definitely be watching a lot more because it is good.
Good, yeah.
Finally, someone who walked away 4 years ago, like, this is what I've wanted. It's like they have all the talent in the world, so let's just use it right and present them right. And shit, from what little bit I've seen, it's been night and day from old Vinnie Mac.
It's been 1 month of zero rematches under
Triple H. How about that? Yeah,
fucking incredible, dude. There's been way less DQ and count out finishes. The ones that are happened have made a lot of sense, like the KO McIntyre ending and then the Miz being abducted by Dexter Lumis last night, which was just a cool fucking way to end a match.
Yeah.
But Gargano's return, we'll talk about Raw. And then Stardom in New Japan, they have their combo show coming up really soon. They have released a tournament bracket for the IWGP Women's Championship. So I want to get your perspective on that, your take. And then I want you just kind of fill in the people here on Stardom a little bit, and myself included, because I don't really know too much. I've always heard of Julia and I think
Shuri. She's the current champ.
And that's how uneducated I am.
Champion. Yep.
Kairi Sane's back over there, right?
Yeah, she was actually supposed to be challenging for like the second title, which is the Wonder of Stardom. It's World of Stardom and Wonder of Stardom, but she had COVID. There was a show, like, it was just this Sunday, so she had to drop out. But yeah, she's only had probably like 4 or 5 matches since coming back, and she's not in the 5-star Grand Prix. But yeah, it's been great to see her back on her home turf, and I'm sure more to come from her as well.
Awesome, dude. Yeah, and we'll talk about all of that. But like I said, let's get into fucking Raw. Johnny Gargano.
Let's do it.
Dude, that was I don't know about you, but it was a huge surprise for me. Well, it wasn't, because my fucking phone, it got spoiled for me across Johnny Gargano returned. Come on.
It's so hard these days. If you're not watching something live, it's so hard these days.
And the sad thing was I was about 22 minutes behind. So it wasn't like I wasn't even
live. That sucks.
Like, I was like right. I started an hour and 10 minutes into the show. I had to catch up on the 90 Day Fiance tell all with my wife. Let me tell you. Yeah, that was banging, dude. That tell all two-parter was good. All right. Good. But I was a little bit behind, but I was getting caught up, and then across my phone, Johnny Gargano returned. And I was like, all right, maybe this guy's fucking around. And someone's like, Tim King, did you see this shit? I'm like, oh, fuck. All right. But still got me even more excited. I kind of fast forward a little bit through the AJ Styles Ciampa tag team match after like the Miz part, because then they like still like beat up Ciampa a little bit, which was weird because I wanted to get to Gargano. And dude, that pop was fucking hot. Organic, his speech, his promo was fucking organic. It didn't feel scripted. It felt real from the heart.
Because it wasn't, you know, like we know that now. And the pop was great, but it was all, did you notice it was a bit delayed? So like first they came like right out of a commercial into it and you hear his music and it like cut to the crowd and there was like a 2-3 seconds before like everyone's like, oh fuck, it's really him. And like you see his name come up because it had been so long and it was so just out of the blue on this show. You know, I'd certainly heard about it last night before watching today. But yeah, I mean, this motherfucker, the run that he had, you know, I don't shut up about 2018 wrestling, but really 2018-19 in NXT is some of the best shit in the last few years for sure. Like, he was unbelievable. Obviously, the trio of matches with Ciampa, the Adam Cole series, you know, people forget he had awesome takeover matches with the likes of Ricochet, Aleister Black, even good old Velveteen Dream before he became a big creep. But I would, and if just from a pure babyface standpoint, like best babyface in the world at that point, I think. And, you know, I thought when they turned him heel, it was good. It was something different, but he's best in this babyface role. And what a way to bring him back. I thought it was all just awesome.
Yeah, bro, it was so hot, and it was like, what are they gonna do with him? Because when he left, he was a heel down there with the way. Well, actually, he was back to being a face again. Well,
yeah, between kind of turned.
It was it was in the middle before he went away, and then obviously went away to have the kid. Austin Theory coming out was the perfect foil for him right away.
Yes,
and then him throwing that super kick, like boom, there's your first feud.
You knew it was coming too when he's like, hit me with the high five, hit me with it. Yeah, that was well done.
Yeah, and you were right. Back in the 2018, early 2019, I believe, he was one of the hottest baby faces in the company. Very reminiscent of Daniel Bryan's run back in the WrestleMania 30 era, and like very similar to Kofi Mania as well. So it's nice when you get that organic pop.
I mean, and that Andrade match he had, Takeover Philly, beginning of 2018, I think. Like, that's... When we talked about Okada Ospreay being an all-timer, like, that's the level I'm talking about. Like, I've got that somewhere around, like, 20 to 25 all-time. So, Gargano was fucking unreal then. And, yeah, he's got a ready-made program with Theory. Perhaps he can challenge for the briefcase. I don't know. But obviously beyond that, you know, DIY at some point is going to get back together. So, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, as a big AEW fan as I've been, I think he's where he belongs. And I like that in the promo where he's like, you know, I thought about, you know, maybe going somewhere else or not coming back at all. But, you know, I had these dreams of being, because of course, all these, you know, people grew up watching WWE and not AEW. And it's like, those are still real dreams for them, like Cody. So it's like, I totally get it. And you know, doesn't mean he may not be an AEW one day, but probably not at this point because Triple H is his boy. But I love it, and I'm excited to see him. And I'll say it again, I'm excited to keep watching main roster WWE. It's crazy. I don't know what world we're living in these days, but here we are.
It's a world. It's a world to think about what could have happened if Vince had gone away 4 years ago. Where would AEW have been? And I don't know. I think we hit on this. We might have hit on this in our last show, but I think at the world of professional wrestling, and I'm glad AEW is around. Obviously, I love AEW. You love AEW. I'm glad it's around. But if this had happened 4 or 5 years ago, I don't think AEW even exists. In all honesty,
you're probably right. I mean, because he'd already been doing NXT UK. There was plans of NXT Japan, if you recall, back then. So it's like it was going to kind of become WWE regional around the world, I think. And, like, it's great that AEW exists. And I'll be curious to see what happens with them because, you know, despite all the backstage bullshit that we talked about and who knows what's real and what's not, WWE's got more momentum than they've had in God knows how long, and especially in this quote-unquote war. You know, I feel like AEW, because it was new and fresh and whatever, like, was more exciting. Now it's like the honeymoon is over, and WWE's really going to start kicking your ass. And, yeah, they're not legitimate competition, but I think it's hopefully going to push TK and that product, not you, and that product It should be you.
If I had that pencil, I think we'd be talking about a different product with that fucking roster, dude. And,
AEW is going to get better as a result. Like, all this backstage bullshit, it's going to get settled, I hope. All Out's going to be fucking awesome. Tomorrow night's going to be fucking awesome.
I can't wait for tomorrow night. We'll talk. Oh, I forgot to say that. But, yeah, we'll talk about that down the road here. I can't fucking wait for tomorrow night. But, yeah, a couple of comments. Bishop, shit, finally found you guys. Thought you were live on the UW pod.
This is the UW pod.
We are all the UW pod. Justin, cheers. What's up, brother? Cheers. Smacking a Raw Ritter. Look at these two beautiful people and let's go, baby. What's up, baby? What's up? What's up,
daddy? Just water for me tonight.
Yeah, this is only my second one. I knew I was coming on with you, so I was like, I'm going to have a couple. But
when I went to that concert last night, too, so I had, you know, 6 or 7 last night and slept in today. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just smoke and have some water.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's good. But really quick, back to Johnny Gargano before we move on. I know you said he could potentially challenge Theory for the briefcase. I would actually be all right with it only if he challenges Theory and loses. I don't need
Gargano. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't need him getting – and that, like, builds that underdog babyface story even more.
Yeah.
I don't need him taking that briefcase from Theory yet. I don't need him thrust into a world championship picture anytime soon. And it's not because I don't think he is ready. I think it's just because, like he said, he wants to do all these things. Be an Intercontinental champion. Be a fucking eventually get back with Ciampa and fucking be a tag team champion on the main roster. And then eventually you can even have that feud on the main roster. He can be a world champion on the line. Like, what do you do with him?
Yep. How about this? Have him beat Theory initially and then put up the briefcase and then loses, you know, because, like, you at least get that comeuppance of he wins his first match against his old mentee, so to speak, and then put it up. Because, I mean, who doesn't like a match with stakes, you know?
Oh,
like,
Legos.
Put up the briefcase and then have Theory get a dastardly win there. And then kind of move on. But
Absolutely. Oh, on NXT. Oh, yeah, they got the pillow fight. I turned it off because I didn't want to get distracted. Or is that what it is? I don't know the pillow fight between Wendy Chu and Tiffany Stratton in the main event. NXT was banging tonight too, man. They got the World's Collide show. That show is awesome.
Yeah. I'm a big Tyler Bate guy. So
You got Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker. I agree. And then you got there was a debut on NXT tonight. I don't want to spoil it, but Miko Satomura made her debut. I guess I spoiled it. Fuck it.
Yeah, I saw your comment on the thread, so that's tight.
Yeah, she'll be taking on our lights out match. It's called Thank You, Ritter. He said it's a lights out match. What I call it, a pillow fight. That's because she always got the pillows with the balls and shit in there. Ritter says really good match. I'm sure it is. NXT was killer against tonight. World's Collide is going to be awesome. You're going to have Miko versus Mandy versus Blair Davenport for the to unify both of the belts. It looks like you're going to have the Creed brothers versus Briggs and Jensen, so that'll be good too. So yeah, some good stuff, some good stuff. Make me sad no more. But yeah, man, Gargano, very excited. Really, really good stuff planned, I think, for him with Triple H. That pop was fucking amazing, and it's good to see organic pops like that. You don't need the dropped-in crowd noise when you're going to get organic pops like that, and keep it coming. What you said you watched a little bit of Raw. What else did you watch?
Yeah, so I watched, did you see? Yeah, the opening segment of Rollins and Riddle brawling. I thought that was a cool way to open the show. You know, it's like it cut to the ring, and then all of a sudden you see the cameraman starting to run, and then you get to his camera. And I thought that was really cool for someone who used to fucking work for a video company. That was very well done. And so I thought that was cool, different way to open the show. I watched KO and Gable, which was excellent. Oh, I mean, God. Chad Gable's a guy who he was one of the poster boys of being misused for the last or not used for the last several years. I mean, he'd gotten a bit of a run earlier this year with Alpha Academy, I know, but my God, that motherfucker's so good. And what, 11-minute match? That was awesome. At least 4 stars for me. Just give me more KO, give me more Gable. And I went back last week and watched the Seth and McIntyre promo and match, also fucking awesome. Yes. And then I watched the Gargano segment, obviously, and then the main event between Edge and Priest, which was also excellent. So, again, high marks from everything I watched, and I'm gonna set that weekly DVR and be tuning in more and more. Before I know it, I'm sure I'll be watching live in 3 hours. So
it's again crazy,
not
dude.
Something I would have said, would have thought I would have said even 3 fucking months ago. It is crazy.
Because they make that 3 hours feel like it's gonna like it went by so fast. Like you said, the way they started with Seth and Riddle felt old school, or even
I loved it.
Old school, good, but like in a new school way, because I don't think that they had the production with the cameras, like you said, back in those days.
Yeah, that was just such a sweet thing to see, the guy running for like a second, and then boom, you're just there. I just loved it.
And then for it to stop and then fucking come back around.
Yeah, that was
dope, dude.
And then they like finally started Raw with the whole Trish thing. It's exactly. Like, all right, let's reset. Let's collect our breath here. Like, yeah, I thought that ruled.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then I thought the Bailey Trish thing was good. Trish's promo was really whatever. I'd love to see Bailey and Trish together down the road at some point. That's absolutely. A WrestleMania match, SummerSlam match, or really whatever kind of card they want to try to build, whatever it is. I'm all in on that. I thought the women's tag team match between Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Alexa, and Asuka was really good. I got into it with Vinny a little bit earlier. Vinny hates women's wrestling, so of course Vinny didn't like it. The only thing I would agree with him on, Asuka's strikes weren't exactly there. She was throwing them, but she like missed on like 42 of them. So I guess that complaint would be valid. But everything else is awesome. There's this double DDT spot where Bliss hit Sky and Kai with the DDT, and the way they both sold it was fucking awesome. And I remember sitting there last night watching the match like 3 different times during it saying, damn, like, Dakota and Io got it. Like, damn, look at these two move. Like, damn, they got it. Yeah. So I was really excited about that. I'm glad that they're moving on to the finals. Then they caught a killer backstage little promo between Finn and Dolph before they went out for their match. Their match was fire. Did you see
that? That was
promo?
One that if I had more time, because I was coming up against this recording and could only get in so much. But I love both guys, of course. So may go back and watch that still.
No, it was really good. It was like 90 seconds, dude, and it was just like them kind of taking jabs at each other. Finn called Dolph kid, and Dolph's like, aren't we the same age and shit? So, and then I think he like super kicked him before he left, and like left Finn on his ass before he went out to the ring, and then like Pop Bag was like, are you coming? And like, I don't know why he would ask him if he was coming. Dolph's music was on, but naturally it was just Dolph being exactly. But it was cool shit, dude. The match itself was awesome. Then we got the fucking KO and Gable match, which sick. I just thought was so that banged so hard. Gable's German suplexes that he was throwing last night, he was just folding,
just chucking them around,
KO in half, dude. I'm just like, every time Gable hit a flying diving headbutt like 3 quarters across the ring.
I know that was excellent, just perfect form,
perfect. And then I don't know whatever the fuck move KO did. From the top rope, it looks like he does that move. It's the neck breaker he does where
he does that a good amount. I always love it.
And then he does it into a backbreaker from the top rope, and he hit that. There were just a lot of good spots in that match. And KO was fucking. He had the tape back on his shirt, the KO tape, like back. Like that was cool as fuck to see. Bailey's return match. I thought Bailey looked fucking fantastic last night. In ring, she was fucking great too.
Hell yeah. I didn't see it, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she looked really good all together in ring, and Bayley always looks great in my opinion. We got a tag match between AJ and Bobby against Miz and Ciampa. The match itself was awesome, but better, the cooler part was Dexter Lumis abducted the Miz. I mean, that was, did you see that part?
I saw like a video of that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely down for that.
Yeah, that was cool as shit. And then the Johnny Gargano return, and then Edge and Beth Phoenix fucking return.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And like kind of a tease of Beth and Rhea at the end as well. You know, like that was that was pretty cool. Maybe a mixed tag match, maybe a singles match.
I don't know. I don't really follow the dirt sheets, but all the people in these chat rooms are like, it's going to be a 6-person tag at either Clash or the next pay per view. It'll be
with Ray.
Yeah, and add Ray. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be good.
Yeah, I'm down. As long as Dominic turns, then and then he can go and he can go and join the Judgment Day and make all of this fucking finally mean something.
And actually be Rhea's cuck for real this time.
Oh, he'd love that. I think we all would. Again, except for Finney.
Yeah.
Shit. Anything else about Raw you want to talk about, man, before we move on?
No, it was, again, everything I saw was great. So, kudos, Triple H.
Yeah, and again, the show tonight was fucking NXT from what I saw was great. Dexter Lumis showed back up on NXT tonight and kissed Indy Hartwell in the ring.
Gotta love it.
Carried her backstage, but then got arrested. So, like, they're going to continue.
Because of what he did last night.
Probably something along, and he wrote her a love letter and said like "bye, Indy" or something along those lines, or like "I love you." So like they're gonna continue that, and it's gonna be like a drama, and I'm really excited about that because when I saw him show up and crawl into the ring while she was cutting a promo, I got my goosebumps, dude. I was like, I love this shit, dude. Like this is such a good story. I love how they're cross branding Raw and NXT. You really like you would have seen people on there, but it would be like a veteran going down with this new 2.0. This is like stories intermingling with each other. You fucking love to see it. I love it.
Absolutely.
I can't say a fucking bad thing right now, which is so wild to say, but 5 hours of television the last 2 days and they fucking kick serious ass.
Yeah. Insane. Gotta love it.
Well, let's talk about something that you love, bro. I want you to educate me a little bit, dude. Let's talk about Stardom briefly. You got the New Japan is introducing the IWGP Women's Championship. They just announced the title tournament. It was in Japanese, so I had no fucking clue what it said. I thought it actually said like competitors' names. I went to the website and tried finding out who. It didn't say anything, but you told me that it's just a tournament, right? Like it's just listed. Like no one's actually been announced
yet. Yeah. So I was doing some looking as we were doing this, and yeah, there's no announcement. It looks like 8 competitors, but I thought I saw something that said 7. So I don't know. I guess more details to come.
It does say the
tournament will feature 8 wrestlers with the finals taking place. So they're calling the event Historic X Over. There you go. Oh, okay. So that is that same show. Hold on. I need to plug my computer in as well here.
Is it the same night, this November 20th?
Yes, so that's what I was saying before we came on air. So that's the night that they're going to crown the champion, but they've also announced this match, Shuri and Tom Lawler against Julia and ZSJ, which is fucking awesome. And then there's another one with, I believe, it's Tanahashi and Utami Hayashishita against Hiroki Goto and Micah. And there was even one more. Click again. Okay, yeah. So we're gonna split the Suzuki Goon faction. So we'll have Taichi and Yoshinobu Kanemaru along with Tam Nakano and Natsupoi against El Desperado, Doki, Momo Watanabe, and Starlight Kid. Holy fuck, I that team.
I wish Ritter was maybe still here so he could just be spraying these. His mind's probably like, I don't even know what to say right now.
Just like we were trying to find Matt's. I'm sure he'll come up with some. So let's take a step back. So they've announced all these matches. So to me, that means none of these, 6-8 women will even be in this tournament, right?
Yeah, so this is the tournament. So it looks like, well, yeah, because the finals is on 11/20, which these matches that have been announced are taking place. Yeah, so because it looks like only four women from Stardom and then four international women. One will get a bye and then two others. So, and I mean, take that for what you will.
So that's, I mean, that makes sense then, because like Julia definitely was like one of my top picks for who could be the first champ, because she speaks English as well. And she's just like an awesome rising star there who's never held their world title. So I thought she would have been a great pick for it. You know, some of the others as well, but I guess what do you want to know? What questions do you have? Where do we want to start here? I mean, I'm thrilled about all of this, obviously, as you know, it's just going to bring more eyes to Stardom. I just watched an interview earlier today with Matt from the Shining Wizards and this guy, Kieran, who I've followed on Twitter for a while, does a lot of great New Japan stuff on the Bread Club show with Kevin Kelly that was excellent. And Kevin Kelly had said he could see Stardom getting a US TV deal before New Japan.
Wow. Which would
be very interesting. Just because it's so different, it's so unique. Like, women's wrestling is kind of on the rise right now. And again, like you've heard me say it, it's that fucking good. So if you can just get more eyeballs on this, which again, that's what this is doing, and it's going to be amazing. But and this match alone is a wet dream, absolutely. I mean, so Julia is actually born in England, so she's an English citizen, even though she is obviously Japanese. So you got those two teaming up, which is great. And then Shuri's definitely more of like an MMA-based, like she'll strike the shit out of you. She can submit you. So like her and Lawler as a duo is just so good. And Shuri and Julia used to be part of the same faction, Donna Del Mondo. Shuri broke off and started her own God's Eye. So those two have kind of had like a bit of an eternal rivalry as well. They used to be tag champions. So yeah, this is going to be fucking great. And yeah, they're like Shuri and Julia are definitely two of Stardom's top
stars. So these two are the cream of the crop. Like when I hear about Stardom, these are the two that I hear about constantly. These are the two who just handed Okada and Ospreay the flowers when they just wrestled in the G1 finals. So like these that are means the two, right?
For sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think clearly having them at the G1 finals, putting them in this match, but again, they're not going to crown them the champion. But like from a star standpoint, yeah, these two. But then beyond that, I mean, Saya Kamatani has had the Wonder of Stardom Championship, which they call the white belt. Shuri's is the red belt. She's had that all year and just been putting on banger after banger after banger. I'd never even heard of her before this year. And she's like probably in my list of top five, top 10 wrestlers of the year. She's been that good. Momo Watanabe is only 22 years old and she's been main eventing for 4 years. Starlight Kid is only 20. She's unbelievable. AZM, 19 years old. And they all start when they're like 15 on the quote unquote main roster. So they're just getting so much seasoning. Like AZM is 19. Like AZM and Starlight Kid, 19 and 20, are two of the best wrestlers in the world, regardless of gender. And their combined age is 39. It's just, it's crazy. And those two had a match earlier this year that I had at 4 3/4 stars. You know, it's probably a top 20 match of the year for me. So that'd be the next one.
So who are, all right, so the next one?
Yeah, so Starlight Kid is above El Desperado in the mask. And that's Momo Watanabe right next to her as well.
And who are these ones?
I can't see your clicker, but the two on the right side of the screen, above Desperado and
Dope. Yeah, and then who are the ones above Kanemaru and Tai Chi?
So above Kanemaru is Natspoi and Tam Nakano of the Cosmic Angels faction. Natspoi and Tam actually recently had a big feud. Natspoi was in Donna Del Mondo and as a result ended up joining Cosmic Angels after losing the first ever cage match in Stardom against Nakano, got a rematch, beat her, and then it was kind of like a respect thing that, and Natspoi is just such a better fit in the Cosmic Angels anyway, and she's impressed me as much as anyone this year as well, because I had no idea who she was. And that's just kind of a running theme. It's like, holy shit, like the amount of talent that they have. And yeah, shouts to Justin for knowing how incredible Stardom is. I know I've just been yapping, but they've been in the midst of their five-star Grand Prix tournament, which is like a G1. It's two blocks, but shit, there's like 13 in each block or something. But the time limit of the matches is only 15 minutes. So it's like really fast matches. And to see someone like Shuri, you know, who's usually having 20, 25, 30-minute matches work that fast style is very interesting.
Are there generally a decisive winner in these matches, or are there fluky finishers like DQs and countouts?
It's pretty decisive usually. I mean, you may see a roll up here or there, but I don't think I've seen a DQ or count out yet. So, it's been great. Want to shout out Hizuki. I'm still one show behind, but she has been, I think she's 5-0 from what I've seen, leading the way with 10 points. One of my favorites as well. And while you got this up, may as well mention, so Yutami Hayashishita who's teaming with Tanahashi. She was the red belt World of Stardom champ for like 400 days, dropped it to Shuri at the very end of last year. And I don't know, you may have heard last year, Shuri and Yutami had a match that I think Meltzer gave 5.5, 5.75, something like that. Insane. Like, you know, one of the craziest, probably best women's match I've ever seen. Went like 40. So it was went to the time limit at 30. They kept going into overtime and it ended in a double knockout. Like after all the madness, it's fucking wild. And then Shuri ended up winning the belt from her later that year. But yeah, anyone who likes women's wrestling, go out of your way to find those two matches from last year. And the pairing on the right is very interesting because Goto, you know, love me some Goto, but he is who he is. You know, he's a mid-carder. He's never won the big one. And Micah, kind of a similar spot. You know, she's definitely not one of the top stars there. You know, she's had some singles title shots. She's been a tag champ. She's also part of Donna Del Mondo, which is Julia's crew. I wish it was Himeka. I'm a big fan of Himeka, the Jumbo Princess, who's usually her tag partner. But again, someone's got to be in the tournament. And Justin asks, is Mayu Iwatani going to be in the tourney? I would assume so. You know, since she's not announced for a match, you know, those that aren't announced for matches here, pretty safe bet that they're going to be in the tournament. But there's going to be some international flavor as well. So, because I know they're having a match at Royal Quest, which is the New Japan show in England. So I'm guessing there'll be a couple English women maybe that are in that. But it's going to be a ton of fun.
That's awesome, man. I look forward to seeing it. And like you said earlier, it gives them more exposure doing this because, quite frankly, if they weren't teaming up with them, I probably wouldn't be talking about it right now. And not that I'm sitting here giving them any exposure, but... if I'm interested, then more people are going to be interested as well. That's all that means.
Yeah, and like I'm not, you know, blowing smoke when I'm saying how great it is. Like, yeah, when I say best promotion in the world, maybe slightly, but like it's that good that it's, if it's not, it's right there. You know, like I would put New Japan above it just because, you know, I've been following it for that much longer. I understand it. I know it. You know, the top matches are better than the top matches at Stardom. But, like, goddamn, from a consistency standpoint and just, like, again, how much talent is there that I just didn't realize how fucking good they were. It's awesome. And I know I've given you my login credentials, so I'll definitely have to give you a crash course of some matches to just kind of – get some eyes on some of these competitors.
And then is the commentary, is it all Japanese commentary or do you get some English commentary?
There'll be English every once in a while for like the really big shows, but it's mostly Japanese, or on like some of these smaller tournament shows, there's none, which I kind of like as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There's like a lot of older New Japan matches and things where you watch without commentary, and me and my buddy would call it a front row match because it just kind of feels like you're there. Because you can hear, like, you know, it, Stardom, you know, the women kind of yell a lot, like, ah, And like you hear, you just get to hear like the physicality and, you know, the toll it's taking on them. I'd still take commentary any day of the week, but it's a unique way to take in a match. That's for sure.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you for the crash course on this period. And I look forward to logging in with your credentials. I'd love to hear more, obviously. If you want to go to floorslipersports.com, Brett has his 2022 match ratings on there. I got to imagine a shitload of those are from Stardom. I remember seeing AZM's name on there. So, and
yeah,
I was
you will love her. Like, she's one that I didn't really talk about. I mean, I mentioned her, but not a ton. Like, again, 19, freak athlete, just absolutely freak athlete. She's the high speed champion right now. Just kind of like their, call it like their X division title. It's mostly for like younger, high speed. So the pace is usually really quick. But yeah, AZM, you know, again, like I said, she's 19. I can't even imagine where she's going to be at 24. So yeah, it's, there's, the future is bright with this company because like other than Shuri and maybe Kairi, everyone is like in their 20s or teens. There's so very few.
Let me ask you that. Do these women, not that again, WWE is end all be all or AEW, obviously, but do you foresee any of these women going to WWE down the road or even in AEW?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, because we've already seen it, you know, Kairi, Io Shirai, Toni Storm, you know, Jamie Hayter, even Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, like all of them did some time over there, but like Hayter and Storm, Blair Davenport, also Bea Priestley, like she was there for a long time. So absolutely. I mean, I imagine the money is going to be a lot more over here than it would be over there. So yeah, I think for sure there will be some, you know, over these next handful of years that'll definitely make the jump.
Yeah.
Who? Cool. I don't know. You know, it's just, it's going to be interesting.
What about Julia? Do you think she'd ever make that move?
Probably. I mean, and again, we're in an era and a time where, hey, maybe you don't have to make that full-time jump to WWE or AEW, and you can just come over for, like Takeshita did, for a three-month excursion. Or, hey, we're in Triple H's WWE now. I mean, the idea of a WWE, AEW super show, let alone a WWE working with Stardom or New Japan, it's at least possible now. So yeah, I would say Julia, and again, she speaks English. She's beautiful. She looks like a star. She carries herself like a star.
Yeah.
But like, she's got to get that top belt in Stardom, which is it's very tough to get. So it's like New Japan. It's like, once you get that top belt, you've kind of arrived, but it's really hard to kind of break through to that level. So, I foresee her winning that belt at some point in the next year, but I mean, Shuri's kind of had a deadlock on it, but like I said, those two have had kind of a bit of an eternal rivalry. So I'd love to see Julia be the one to take it away.
I've heard this thing. I got to give a shout out to my boy, Gary. I've heard this name Julia for like 3 years now, dude, like nonstop. Julia, 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 Julia. I just even seen a message on my phone. He just said Julia, like nonstop. So like, I've seen her. I like you said, yeah, she's beautiful. She's swole, dude. She's got that. I saw someone on Twitter the other day said Julia's got the back that Raquel Gonzalez or Raquel Rodriguez wishes that she had. Like, she's got it, dude. I would love to see her come over here. But first, I want to see her do what she does. So I'm going to tune in with your credentials and definitely check me out some Stardom. So thanks for the fill-in. Brocast. What's up, bro? Evening, fellas. Brocast is always in the future, dude. I love talking to him.
Man. I was gonna say, yeah.
He knows what's probably going on.
Probably morning over there, right?
Yeah, it's what time? Australia, probably like 1 p.m. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
He probably will tell us. I want to say it's like 1 or 2 p.m. over there for sure.
But yeah, also Julia was my first love and how I got into Stardom too. So yeah.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
All right.
Which was like early mid 2020, like early on in the pandemic is when I really started taking that dive, and she's what brought me in.
And well, I've seen her. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right, man. Let's get into Dynamite. It's fucking in Ohio. It's in Cleveland. Yep. I'm fucking amped up for it. We got a couple of huge matches. We got CM Punk and Jon Moxley. We got the United Empire versus Death Triangle. Jay Lethal against Dax Harwood. Billy and Colton Gunn are going to go at it. But ultimately, we only care probably about two matches. We want to see Mox and Punk, and then we want to see Death Triangle and United Empire. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow on this show?
Man, I mean, we talked Friday. Like, I just can't foresee a situation where this match doesn't happen at All Out. Like, who are you? Even if it's CM Punk and MJF, that just, you don't, the time is not there to properly build it. Like, this is the match. I just think something's going to happen, or there'll be a non-finish or something fucky and leading to, and this is what I think should happen, I guess, and leading to a last man standing or some sort of match like that at the pay-per-view. Because again, like, who else would be the opponent for either of these guys at the pay-per-view, which is, what, 2 weeks away? Less than two weeks away?
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, the rumors coming out of MJF's potential comeback, like, yeah, he could make sense in that spot, but I just don't see that happening yet. So does MJF come back tomorrow? Perhaps. But yeah, that's my thought. I think it's some sort of schmoz, no clear winner that builds to a true match at the pay-per-view. What about you?
Yeah, dude, I don't see the sense in putting this match on Dynamite. It can't end clean. There's no way that Punk is going to pin Mox's shoulders down 1, 2, 3. And there's sure as shit no way that Mox is going to pin Punk 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I love it, though.
I'm getting more. You remember I was 60-40 Mox when we last talked?
Yeah, where are you at now?
I'm 50-50, actually leaning more 60-40 Punk, even without seeing it, solely because of those new shirts that they just released. They wouldn't be releasing all this new badass merch if this shit was fucking real. They're working the fuck out of us. Why they're working us, I don't know. So I'm getting more and more excited to see the story that they're going to tell tomorrow night and what's going to lead into All Out rather than, you know, whatever. I'm a passionate wrestling fan. I get irritated pretty easily. And I was pretty upset they put this match on Dynamite. I still might be upset. If I don't get this match in Chicago, I am going to be fucking upset. There's no match that you could spin to me that's better than this match.
Here's what it would be. I just thought of it. It would be Hangman Punk. You know, it's obviously there after this shit. And again, that rematch is going to be great when it happens, but it shouldn't happen now and this quick.
Right. And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Someone brought up on... I always say Twitter. Someone brought up on Twitter, they think that Hangman's actually going to end up being the third member of the Dark Order. And that right now, Dark Order's down to four people. Evil Uno's going to be overseas. So now they're down to their three guys. And they're going to think that one of either 10, God, I don't even remember, 10 Reynolds or Silver are going to end up being taken out by somebody. And then Hangman's going to have to be their third guy. And then it'll be Dark Order versus the Elite in the finals.
Okay, I'd be down with that for sure.
Because it doesn't make any other sense, like where else they would go with that.
Yeah. Who would they be facing on that side of the bracket? I can't remember.
Yeah, it would be them versus House of Black, and then they'll be against the Best Friends.
Okay.
And you're not gonna sit here and unless House of Black defeats Dark Order, and then they beat the Best Friends, and then they fight the Elite. But the House of Black got mixed up with Miro right now, and they're mixed up with Sting right now. So, like, how many things could the House of Black fucking do? It's got to be the Dark Order and Hangman. Otherwise,
and yet we still haven't had a great Aleister Malakai Black singles match. How?
None.
How?
One year.
Fuck.
What? No, we did enough. of this on Friday. We yelled so much on Friday. I don't want to yell. I don't want to yell anymore. I want to be positive.
I know.
But it's got to be Dark Order who's going to beat House of Black and go to the finals. There's no other. That's got to be the story. But all those
assuming Hangman's there,
right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well yeah. God, it can't just be Silver Reynolds and 10 against the Elite in the finals of that tournament.
Well, no, I think it would be House of Black at that point. But again, like you said, they're already mixed up with shit. So Yeah. What's Evil Uno doing overseas?
I'm not sure. I think it's just, it might be an excuse just to be.
Okay. I just hadn't seen that. So, yeah.
It was on, I didn't actually see it either. I think someone, it was on BTE or.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. It was on BTE.
But I haven't watched it yet this week. So,
yeah. Interesting. It's actually really interesting. It takes place while Punk was calling Hangman out in the middle of the ring. And Hangman is in the back screaming at the Dark Order, motivating them to go. And a guy walks in and is like, hey, did you hear what Punk just said? And Hangman's like, I don't fucking care. Get the fuck out of here. Do you see what we're doing?
And That's awesome.
It was good. It was really fucking good, dude. So, like, that makes me even more think that he's going to get mixed up.
Yeah.
With what and they're
what's
doing.
Been happening on Being the Elite has often transferred onto, I mean, they basically told us Kenny was coming back and that happened. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a cool story, and to have him against them in the finals with, you know, he and the Young Bucks seemingly okay with each other, and then Kenny and he, who have had no contact since November of last year. So,
But what happens then, though? The Elite wins and Hangman tucks his tail between his legs and joins him up like with him again? Or?
Yeah, you're right. Let's go Dark Order.
Wow.
You have Hangman pin Kenny, a hurt Kenny.
The final, Justin says, the final would have been so much better with Hangman with the Bucks instead of Kenny against the Dark Order and telling the story we talked about. Yes. Justin and I, last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago after Dynamite, we were, after Hangman turned the Bucks down, we were unsure where the Bucks were going to go, whether it was going to be Kenny, or we said they'd be wrestling LFI 2-on-3 and be getting their asses just whooped. And then Hangman comes down for the hot save. Yeah. They're the team then. And then ends up Dark Order wins and Dark Order goes to the finals. And then it's Hangman and the Bucks against these guys who he's been with. And like, he's got to hit that final buckshot on John Silver for the 1-2-3. Look, I get goosebumps talking about Justin. Yeah. That's a hell of a booking story that he told. Like that would have been legit. And then you could have still brought Kenny back and had Kenny do a 1-on-1 match with somebody. But
yeah, I mean, you're right from a story, but it's not like their storytelling has been top notch of late. But what if Hangman pins Kenny?
Oh, and again,
they've kind of planted this seed already of, hey, Kenny's not 100%, and he really isn't. So, you know, like, why not? You know, like you said, if the Bucks and Kenny win, yeah, where does that leave Hangman? You know, again, okay, maybe he just stays away. Yeah, I don't know. I think that would be very compelling. For sure. And then Kenny would be down too to Hangman as well, even though we don't know what their relationship is going to be. We, you know, Kenny or the Bucks and Hangman have seemingly made up, but we don't know. You know, he and Kenny have had no interaction. So I wonder if they will before any of this, or if they'll kind of keep them separate until who knows? We don't even know if this is going to happen yet, but.
And yo, while we're talking about this, we didn't talk about this on our last episode. How'd you feel about Kenny Omega's return?
Yeah, it hit me like hours later. I'm like, we didn't even talk one word about Kenny because we were too busy shitting on everything. Oh man, it was so good to see him. You know, there's still some doubt that it wasn't going to be him, and I did have that spoiled, and I was a little upset about it. But it's like I knew it was going to be him anyway. But yeah, it was awesome hearing that music, the intro, you know, even though he had a shirt on, it was still awesome. You know, I'm guessing that's something to do with his shoulder and compression and whatnot, because he's got too good of a body to keep that shirted. but no, it was awesome. Like I don't care what anyone says about Kenny Omega. He is one of the main reasons why I'm as big of a wrestling fan as I am today. No doubt about it. And, yeah, he's not been as good in AEW as he was in New Japan. He's never going to be that good because only one other man has ever been that good, and that's who he was facing in Okada. Like, that was peak of the peak shit. But even with all these miles on his body and the fucking vertigo and all this shit, he's still top 10 in the world easily. And yeah, it's just, it's fucking great to have him back. And I'm just excited and happy, and then happy that Dan Callis is back too, but because God damn it, I love that man.
Well, it's interesting because if Kenny's going to be a face, I'm not quite sure what his role is going to be with him there, because he doesn't really
just
fit
keep
with
trotting Kenny him out the commentary. Face, but, I'm fine with that,
which is fine for sure. Justin just said it definitely didn't look like ring rust. Kenny legit looked like he wasn't ready to be back. So I did want to talk on that, and I wanted to talk about you saying him or him, why he wore a shirt. I saw a video. It was about two referencing going back to Twitter. I see everything on Twitter. I saw a video where a guy said, "We're being worked again." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And it was by fucking Kenny Omega. Everything that he did in that match showing ring rust, he's not.
That he did on purpose?
He did it all on purpose because he's going to progressively get better in the next few matches, and then he's going to
think so too.
Maybe Hulk his shirt off. Maybe it's versus the Hangman, you know, the Hangman. Versus the match with Hangman. I don't think it's ring rust. I don't think it's when he did the spot in the match where he like jumped over and fell like 6 feet short of the corner. I was like, but then I rewatched the video of the person saying it, and then was like, watch this spot and watch this spot. And I was like, oh shit. I think that motherfucker's working us, dude. I'm not saying that he'll ever be Okada Kenny. I'm not saying that he'll even be that Bryan Danielson Kenny, but he was wrestling that match hurt. So why what's to say that he couldn't come back to being something closer before?
I totally agree.
Yeah,
like I think he's still gonna be 90%+ of what he was, and that's still one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I could totally see him working us. And maybe it goes the other way, like I was saying, like he's showing this ring rust. I can't talk ring rust because the story is he's going to lose, and they have to show these chinks in his armor. I don't know who the fuck knows, but I don't think it's going to be like a Moxley winning the title over Jericho in 2020 when he had the eye patch thing, and that turned out to be just like a hoax, you know. Like, I don't think it's going to be something like that. But, yeah, I definitely know what you mean about him maybe working us, because something similar, I think, happened when El Fantasmo had his first match back in New Japan after the pandemic. I don't even remember what match it was or when it was, but, like, he hadn't wrestled at all through COVID. So, like, they were kind of building up that whole ring rust thing, and, like, there were a few spots where he, like, slipped, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he did that on purpose, because he's too good to be doing that. And, like, ELP similarly, like, likes to fuck with people. So, I could definitely see it being work, but I could also see it not being, and maybe he is a little rusty, but he's still one of the best in the world, and I'm still thrilled to have him back no matter what happens.
Dude, pumped. And like you said, top 10 in the world. I'm curious to see it. Well, I know. I pulled a lot of the podcasting community that we talked to, and I got 18 surveys in for the top 30 wrestlers in the world. We'll be doing a video releasing that. If you'd like to join, Brett, I'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Justin, we'd love to have you on. Whoever.
I need to refresh my list a little bit, too, before you make that final.
Go ahead and send it over to me. I can readjust it. But, yeah, we'll do a whole video countdown. We'll get on here. We'll talk 30 through number one and where these guys are and where they rank. We'll do that probably by early September, I like to say. I will set a date, and we'll lock that in here shortly. But other than that, man, I can't fucking wait for Dynamite tomorrow, dude. After Dynamite, I'm either going to be really excited or really pissed off because it'll be fucking – before we go, United Empire versus Death Triangle. Who you got?
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah.
Big match. It's going to be tight. Big match.
Yeah, and not only that, I want to mention that Ospreay went from the G1 final to England to face Mike Bailey and then Ricky Knight Jr. I think he lost that match, actually.
He lost the RevPro Championship to Ricky Knight Jr., who, for you who don't know, I didn't know, is Paige's nephew. Paige. He's 20 years old or some shit.
I just found that out recently, too. He and Ospreay had a match last year for the title that I didn't watch, but it got like real high ratings on Cage Match. But, yeah, very interesting that it's Paige's nephew. But yeah, even before that, fought Mike Bailey in Rev Pro, won, lost to Ricky Knight. Now he's flying to America, best wrestler in the world, and he's doing it all over the fucking place. I'm going to say, give me the United Empire. I mean, you know, okay. Bring, if you're going to bring him over, but I don't know, Death Triangle at full strength. I know, I definitely want to find a way to watch
me
Ospreay
too.
And Bailey, because...
Yeah,
Speedball's been obviously on a fucking tear this year as well. But yeah, I'll take
Speedball
United Empire.
Speedball is incredible, dude. Speedball is so fucking good, man.
I had to put him in my top 30 just because of what he's done this year alone. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, also Ospreay's like, what, 2-2 in AEW? Something like that. So I'm picking United.
They've teased that Ospreay Kenny thing online a lot. He's talked a lot of shit about Kenny.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't even think about that connection. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you think they go to that well now and put them in a match together? I thought.
Now that, I think about it, maybe not.
Yeah. So I think Justin talked me out of it too. I had originally thought the United Empire, and I was like, wait a second. These are the guys who just lost to the best fucking friends.
I didn't even think about
why
that.
Why would they win this match? Even though Aussie Open's awesome, they're the inaugural
first strong chap tag team champs. Yeah, they're fucking amazing.
Too. Fantastic. And obviously, Billy Goat's Billy Goat, dude. But I think that you have the history with the Lucha Brothers and the Bucks, and you have Pac
and
Kenny.
And you're right.
So you have all that history in that match right there, or with those six guys. So I got to think that that's going to be the match in the semifinals.
I would agree now. Yeah, I didn't even think about the Ospreay-Kenny thing because, yeah, they don't need to be together yet. I do not think that it's going to be Kenny Ospreay at this Wrestle Kingdom like some people are thinking. I know we talked about it a little bit. I just don't see that happening yet. And again, I think Ospreay Shingo is ready-made for that. But I'd be fucking down for it for sure.
Yeah, but I think you're right. It looks like Ospreay is going to hold that United or the IWGP United States Championship in the Wrestle Kingdom. So you might better off be seeing a match with Shingo there. And maybe Omega's body's not ready to go back to Japan yet.
Full throttle Wrestle Kingdom after a flight, you know, maybe he is, but I just wouldn't think so yet. But I do think we're going to get Danielson ZSJ for sure.
Yes, I think Danielson will be over there. I think maybe Claudio might go over there because these are guys who said they wanted to work over there. Justin said, agreed with you, keep Omega and Ospreay away apart and so you can book them one-on-one. And I agree completely. I don't want to see them. I do. I'd love to see them, but I don't want to see them anywhere near each other so we can have that full throttle ready to go feud for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I'll pick the Death Triangle then.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll talk again before we got to predict anything else. So, dude, this was fucking awesome. We hit WWE, Johnny Gargano's return, Raw talk. We got some Stardom talk in here, man.
Yeah, this is great.
Shirai and Julia.
Shuri.
See, man, I'm so bad.
It's not EO.
EO Shirai, Shuri. Yeah, man, I'm gonna be botching like crazy, dude. But you filled in a lot of good information on Stardom. Predicted some Dynamite. Tomorrow night, I'm very excited. Me and Justin are going to be right on here after Dynamite airs. Brett, you're more than welcome to join us.
I unfortunately am working, so I won't even get to watch live. So I'm hoping I can avoid all spoilers because I'll be watching it as soon as I get home, which should be like 10 o'clock. So.
You got to mute everything, bro. Yeah. I try to mute everything, and like I talked about earlier, I guess I still forget to mute shit, and I still get fucking spoiled, man. It's awful. But Justin and I, tomorrow night after Dynamite, is going to be fucking kick-ass because I'm either going to be really excited because we're going to be heading into All Out Week, and I'm going to be pumped, or I'm going to be really pissed off because I'm not going to get Punk and Mox. So either way, we're going to be in for
a
hell of a show. Yep. Brett, you can find you, Brainbuster Boys, on Visionary Global Media on SoundCloud.
Yeah, and all other major platforms. And we've got a big episode dropping. It'll be tomorrow morning, finally. Part 2 of the origin. See the climax of our time travel escapades.
Hell yeah, dude. You guys are fucking awesome, man. Bo is so fucking original and creative, man.
He's the man.
I look forward to hearing grinding. That.
Hell man, yeah, dude.
Justin, thank you for fucking being here the whole time. Cheers one more time, fellow idiots.
Thank you. Thanks for all tuning in.
Cheers, Justin.
Thank you, TK, for having me. And I'm sure we'll be doing this again sooner rather than later.
Oh, dude, thank you for coming back on. We'll do it. Definitely be doing it either later this week, early next week, probably later this week.
Friday yeah. works again for me, probably. So.
That's what I was thinking too. Probably Friday afternoon would be ideal. And then right. you can find this podcast right here on Floor Sleeper Sports YouTube, floorsleepersports.com. Wrestling Index podcast can be found on all audio platforms, Spotify, Anchor, and Apple, iTunes, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Apple Podcasts, and floorsleepersports.com. Check it out. Brett, thanks again for joining me. Catch me tomorrow night. We out.